Hey, it's White Boy Chris. If the Pat Down's ever made you laugh, then join our Patreon and support us. Get bonus content, a t-shirt, or an autographed copy of Rabbit, Miss Pat's autobiography. Visit MissPatComedy.com for the link to the Patreon, and while you're there, join our Facebook group.
Welcome to another episode of the Miss Pat Show. I'm sorry. Welcome to another episode of the
This Miss Pat Shit.
Welcome to another episode of the Pat Down Podcast with my brother, Dion...
Curry.
Did you say Cole?
I almost with Dion Curry, White Boy Chris, goddamn. And we here talking about all the accomplishment I done been through and what out of hell I... It's been a year, y'all. It's been a fucking year, and I'm excited. And we're talking about it today.
You better get up, get out, and tune into this podcast. It's Pat, spit the truth, spit the real fact. Nothing but the ugly, classy at the same time. Pat got the flavor, these are not your same lines. That's the politics, she been on the real grind. It could be pretty, but ugly at the same time. Just tune in, put your lock on the spin down. Ain't no need for the wait and turn it up now. What you talking about? It's real though. And cut the game, you get no play like Nintendo. You waste the time, turn it up, nothing but the ugly. Straight off the top, everything she say, you know it's funny. Full blast, this a taste of the future. Listen on your iPhone, on your desktop computer. Share it, tweet it, ain't no way to beat it. Nothing but the ugly, turn it up and go and repeat it.
I gotta give them a shout out to Phoenix, honey, because they showed the fuck out this weekend. We was at Stand Up Live, and when I tell you they came out like welfare checks was given out, I'm sorry, PPP loan checks was given out. They showed the fuck out. Thank you, Phoenix. And next week, I'm already sold out in D.C. Thank you, D.C. And my next stop is Austin, Texas. I'm so fucking excited. But I got some news I want to share. Because everybody knew I just moved back from Indiana to Atlanta. I just got booked, y'all, on a big show in Indianapolis with D.L. Hughley, Lil Duval, and Ricky Smiley, September the 24th at the Marat Theater in the Old National Center.
Can I get nice. Can I get a free ticket?
Ain't shit free, but I'm coming home. White people, you don't ask for free ticket, Chris. Don't do that. Don't fuck up the white generation shit. I see what I can do.
I know you've worked with Lil Duval before, or at least, you know, because you guys know each other, but have you worked with Ricky Smiley or DL before?
I've worked with DL, remember, at Morty's, but worked with Ricky. I never worked with Ricky, so I'm excited. I usually don't get put on shows like this, mainly because I try to stay alone, you know, and I'm really building in the clubs. But I'm excited. I'm excited for the theater thing. I'm trying to move into theaters anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I work for a show around comedians, and I know guys that are doing theaters, and I'm like, why the fuck is Pat not doing theaters? Like, if that guy's doing theaters, Miss Pat should be doing theaters.
Well, mainly because I like the intimates of the club, and it's getting there where I'm beginning to move, and I'm talking to my people all the time about, oh, you got to go to theater. I'm like, I like talking to the fucking people. If I do a theater, I can't talk to the fucking people. They like, look here, bitch.
We want that commission.
Because I just truly believe that real stuff come from real people. And when you can have a real conversation with people, you'd be surprised with that spark in your head. You know, you'd be surprised originality you just from hearing other people problem, because they get in that damn line and they tell you all they problem. Like, you got time to fucking listen. Am I lying, Dion? You be like, bitch, I don't got time to hear all this shit. I'm trying to sell my motherfucking book. Can you move along? Oh, Miss Pat, how you blessed me, how you made my sex life better. How the fuck did I make your sex life better?
How did you?
But okay. I don't know. I guess with them
Pissy and Fishy inspired trips to the gyno.
Lots more sex. Draws. Lots of sex happening now that the UTIs have been discovered.
I guess so, but you know, I don't know if a lot of sex is happening since, you know, because they don't want women to get abortions no more, and poor white women who don't want to have babies have slowed down giving the white man pussy.
It's just butt stuff now.
Yeah, just Which fine.
Go the Mormon route.
Just do a little soaking, you know.
Yeah, have somebody jump
what
on
is,
the bed.
What is the Mormon build furniture? You just want a bitch to paint tables?
No, that's Amish.
Oh.
Mormons are the one that ride their bikes.
I don't want to hear. How do I fuck up Mormons and Amish? How the fuck
do
I do that?
They dress alike.
Yeah, they look exactly alike.
No, because Mormons is a bicycle ride motherfucker.
Yeah.
With the Bibles in their book bags.
Yes, with the black ties.
Would they be dressed to a T and they have on church shoe with them fucking bicycle. You know those paddles with the spikes in it so it'll stick in the shoe so your feet don't slide off?
Yes, the pedaling shoe.
Those are the paddles on the Mormon bicycles because I was watching one day and I was like, he gonna kill his fucking self with them church shoes on riding a goddamn bike. But then I realized he had a spike thing to stick in the bottom of his shoe. So as he riding it, the little tassel on the front of the shoe can wave back and forth in Jesus' name.
Do they even make those shoes with tassels anymore?
I seen Jordan with a pair of penny loafer with no penny in the loafer. I got so mad at him. I was like, nigga, what's the purpose of wearing penny loafer if you're not going to put the brown penny in the fucking loafer? The penny make you sharper than a motherfucking cent.
Maybe he didn't have any clean pennies. Just an old ass.
Yeah. Who has a penny anymore?
Dirty Lincolns.
Dirty Lincolns.
You used to walk around and find a penny on the ground. You can't find that shit no more.
No. It's like hard for homeless guys too. When I walk around downtown, they're like, can I have a dollar? I'm like, this is a cashless society. You're going to have to get Sprout or whatever that thing is because I don't have it.
They got Cash App now.
Every time,
don't you like
every
the podcast,
time.
Nigga? Hold on.
We heading to the barbershop.
All right, bye, big head. They head to the barbershop. They going to cut one of them nicks off of him.
They're not miracle workers.
What was you saying?
Every time I was driving a set, there was a crackhead at the exit picking up change. Just random different crackheads always picking up change.
There's
please let this light be green by the time I get to it.
There's a house of, I think it's like a halfway house thing, kind of half a block down. And every single time I leave my doors unlocked accidentally in my car, he goes through I know it's him because we've got him on video. He steals all my change. Like,
you nice.
I know. I keep putting change in there for
him. I will literally put a rat trap in that motherfucker. When he stick your hand down for that chain, that nigga come up with all his four finger bit back like high heel shoes.
I need to have Quisha send me a contraption. I know she's got something.
Nigga, I wish you would. You got him on tape and you still didn't have him arrested.
I once caught a guy breaking into my car for the change.
He's a nice guy. Like, he doesn't take anything. He just takes like whatever pennies are in there. What'd you do when you caught him?
The guy I caught, I was like, man, if you'd have asked, I'd have gave you all that. Now I need you to put it back. He's like, come on, man. I was like, nah, you turn my dome light on and everything. Like, what are you doing? You're supposed to steal in the dark. You don't steal with the light on.
You should say, nigga, my battery cannot handle this dorm light. Man, I need to jump off because you're here stealing 35 cents. Do you know what kind of car you just broke into? That's why I ain't locked the door. The shit ain't even breakable in.
Yeah, that's the main reason why I keep my doors unlocked. There's nothing in my car worth taking other than a little bit of change. But
yeah.
I caught him. And when he saw it, he was like, this your car? Like, what difference does it make? It's not yours. Get out of here.
He was asking if you're going to shoot him.
Like, you just going to ram him through my shit?
I told him, I was like, man, I'll buy you something to eat if you're hungry. Because we were down, this is in Broward. He's like, for real? I was like, yeah, just stop stealing, man. People, you might get hurt. I took him to Brothers and got him some breadsticks and stuff. I talked to him.
You didn't take him to Kilroy's? Like, you got him the cheap ass shitty breadsticks, not the Kilroy's breadsticks?
Hey, man, he was stealing from me, okay? You don't get. That's what a nigga get when they're stealing something. You want him to get the good breadstick? The nigga didn't ask for the money. He was in my car about to take a nap and buy a coffee with my money. So no, he don't get the good coffee and the breadsticks.
Right.
I truly under fucking stand.
If he was robbing for me, then yeah,
he get them cheese filled breadsticks.
I seen on Facebook where one lady opened up the car and this man was sleeping in her car. And she's like, what the fuck you get in my car? He's like, thank you for a good nap. He just stepped out of the car. Nigga, if you go in my car, it's newer, so it's going to go off like a motherfucker first of all. So, and I hope I don't live no more, motherfucker. We just open your door.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, there's different, like living downtown now, there's kind of down on your luck people that are nice and just, you know, trying to get by. And then there's like, I was on a walk the other day and this lady just started, I was screaming, I'm going to fucking shoot you. I know you can hear me. And I could hear her through my headphones. I was like, I need to start running. Wish I knew how, but you know, those are the people that you need to watch out for. The guy's stealing 35 cents. Oh, well.
He would have got, he'd been boogieing in his Brooks.
I was freaked out. And then there was a closed gate on the White River Parkway. I had to turn around and walk past her again. And I'm like, oh, please don't fucking shoot me for real.
What was you doing out there? Playing like you were exercising?
Yes. I'm trying to stay alive and look healthy. I'm not going to be healthy, but at least I can try and look it.
What are you doing, Pat?
She's thinking about how she wants to be mean to me. She wishes Nike were here and I'm standing in Nikea about to get called a half-brained bitch.
I was thinking if you tuck in your cheeks like this, you could actually lose weight. See, they so fat they can't even go in like a fish.
No, they... We're both fucked. McDuffin's gonna fuck
like,
us over.
No, I can do it. You look like a catfish. So we was in, me and Dion and Vince was in Phoenix this week. Oh my god. I've never felt heat like that. I'm so glad they did not have slaves in Phoenix. Oh my god, the black population would be no more. It was so fucking hot. And then when we left the club, the wind was blowing for no reason. Nigga, my eyelash just fold up and laid out. It was the worst heat I ever felt in my life.
You turn the corner leaving, and it's just wind from nowhere. Hot as hell. Just blowing in your face.
All weekend, I went up on stage and said my panty liner had turned into a hoodie. That's how much sweat there was between my legs. I mean, I was changing panty liners in that motherfucker like I had a colossal bag. I was like, what the fuck is going on
here? A colossal bag.
What is a colossal bag?
That piss and shit bag you keep in your pocketbook.
So the professor of Colossus? What is it?
That bag people be shitting in, they keep it in their purse.
A colostomy. A colostomy.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
They don't keep it in their purse.
That colossal bag, man, it was so motherfucking hot. I mean, it was miserable. It just felt like motherfucker was holding on to me. I felt the dead spirits trying to get the Florida out of Phoenix. I've never in my life, you wake up and you go at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's 108 degrees. And they just walk around like it's okay. That shit should be against the fucking law.
It's 101 there right now.
Oh, and you feel it. I'm like, it's like the sun. I think the sun is about 6 feet over their heads in Phoenix.
But it's got 28% humidity. So,
still hot, bro. I'm telling you,
listen to me. You ever seen the sun come down to the earth? I mean, real close, like 6 feet, like maybe 8, 10 feet
over. I know exactly what you mean, yes.
That's the type of heat they had. I mean, it was so uncomfortable. I ran out of underwear. I literally been washing my underwear on my hand
because I can't keep them dry.
How do they smell?
We ain't gonna talk about that, but they smell like dust mites.
I'll lower her voice.
We ain't talk about that.
They literally smelled like dust mites. I couldn't get this smell off me. I mean, that was taking 2-3 but it was so fucking, it was at the point where I was gonna skip shaving. I just went on here and shaved hair off my arm, my kneecaps, my toes. Nigga, I left so much gorilla hair back at that hotel.
What was your thinking process? That somehow you're going to get cooler if you were...
Can you not say gorilla hair, please?
What's wrong with gorilla hair?
I thought it was funny.
Yeah, just give the racist fuel. See, she called herself a gorilla.
I didn't say I was no gorilla. I said gorilla hair.
They're the only ones that have gorilla hair.
Mm-hmm.
Gorillas are the only animal with gorilla hair.
Oh, but it was hot. It was so hot, Chris. I was so goddamn miserable. I'm like, this cannot be real.
And when we were doing the t-shirts, when we were selling the merch, like, the space they had for us didn't have any air conditioning or fan either. So you would get all these people coming out after the show, and it was just so hot.
Man. Oh, God.
It was unbearably hot. And she was taking pictures of all them people. Ooh. See, I didn't have to get close. I don't know if you smelled
it. I love my fans. I mean, they came out to see me, so I could, no matter how hot I was, I just said, get your camera ready. I'm going to suffer through this shit. Eating in, I mean, the last two shows, over 350, 400, and probably 150 of them stayed for pictures. I mean, I'm thankful, but I was like, nigga, I know they ain't got no monkey pops down there. That son done killed, they got that monkey pop. Ain't no such thing in no motherfucking monkey pop in Phoenix. If it is, that son gonna bust all them little blisters on your motherfucking ass.
I keep seeing video of the monkey pox. It's so gross looking. It looks like it hurts so bad.
It's not fatal though, is it?
No.
It's not killing
it people. It's like that thing I had in the back of my head this year.
Okay. That,
yeah, it's really
you
painful.
You probably had monkey pops.
I might have been patient zero.
That wouldn't surprise me if you were the reason. It would not surprise me at all.
Oh my God. It was this man that tried to help me in the audience. Oh, tell him, Dion.
She was killing this man. He was shouting out the whole show. I just ignored him. I only had 10 minutes. I was like, yeah, whatever. But he wanted to be... It was like he was the only person in the room. You know those people who, you know, think they can talk to you like it's a conversation. It's like, dude, shut the fuck up.
And I said, okay. I said, okay. What did I call him?
You called him a bunch of shit. I think his name was Jermaine or George, like something like that.
He looked like he chewed firecrackers for a living. he was fucked up. And then I called him Jerome. And then I called him showing up. And then I told the girl, I said, you know what? I feel sorry for you because I've had to sell pussies to them type of men too. And you had to keep your word to go out on a public date with this nigga. So I understand your pain. Oh, he was so ugly. He just kept yelling out. And his friend was standing up clapping for me. I'm like, set your ass down too. But I had to drag this. And I said, y'all do not holler out at me at shows. I grew up the musty kid in school. So I've learned how to jones to get a nigga off.
Still are in Arizona. Sounds like you're still the musty kid in Arizona.
Exactly. And I had to give it to him like hard dick too. Oh. I had to give it to him. I was not playing with that ugly motherfucker hollering out at me. I'm like, do I come to your job and fuck with you? But it was a fun show. It was Phoenix. That was my first time at that club, but I cannot wait to return.
That'd be a great web series, like Undercover Boss, but just you showing up to somebody's job to heckle them that has heckled you in the past. Like, we just show up with a
camera. I would love to. I'm telling you, this man worked at Walmart in the automotive. They put, when they drain the oil out of the car, it go down their throat.
He takes the lug nuts off of his teeth.
Yes, I'm telling them the type of teeth. His teeth look like a foot scraper at a foot shop, at a nail shop. He was like, he eat butts, suck toes and everything. He was getting on my motherfucking nerves. But overall, things were great. And
the show before that. The show before that, you had that Mexican man who said his girl was whitish.
I'm like, sir, how the fuck is your wife whitish? Fuck that's supposed to mean. And they got 8 babies. Come to find out she only had 2. He had all the rest of the kid because he was Mexican. So he was just slinging burrito dick all through the soon. Like, can you put some salsa on that dick and slow down, sir? I'm here in LA for the premiere of the Miss Pat show. So we got a big premiere this week.
Yeah,
and we're here
on Sunday or no?
No, we the premiere is Wednesday.
Okay, Wednesday the 10th.
Yeah, and then the show comes out on the 11th. But I gotta give you, I'm gonna give it to you, crack babies first. BET is releasing the first episode of the Miss Pat show on August 10th. They're not going to announce it. You got to go to your fucking TV and keep your TV on BET Plus. I think it's going to come on at 8 o'clock, but I'm going to find out and put it in the pat down. Make sure you're watching out for the Miss Pat show for a sneak preview. They're going to show you some episodes before, and they're not even going to edit it.
Oh, really?
Yes, they're giving you the real fucking deal on BET.
Oh, I can't wait to see you in front of the FCC. Your Honor. You know Johnny Cochran's dead, right?
What the fuck is FCC going to do to me?
Well, I mean, is there a lot of cursing and all that in it?
It might be, but so they curse.
Is it going to be the first episode of the second season?
We don't know.
Okay,
gonna be the first episode. I think it's gonna be the first episode, which is really good. It's the one when I was on Trevor Noah last week where they showed a little clip.
Yeah. How was The Daily Show?
Oh my God. Let me tell you, I usually don't get fanned out about anybody because this shit is just work. But I gotta say, I was a little fanned out for Trevor Noah. I was like, I'm on The Daily Show. And you know, all of this shit has just worked to me. So to me, people always say you never get a chance to enjoy what you do. And I don't, because I just say, oh, another gig, I do what I do and keep it moving. But with Trevor Noah, I took a minute to step back and say, I'm going to fuck a Trevor Noah show.
Yeah. And you have a certain smile when you're a little like starstruck or kind of like a shy look to you. And that's how you looked in the pictures, kind of just like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm here right now. Because usually you own every room you're in. But then there's occasionally where you're just like, oh my God, this is Howie Mandel. It was cute. You'd see it in the pictures. You were a little like, holy shit.
I was a little faster. I was. He came into the green room and I had everybody there. And he was like, you know, Miss Pat, we just gonna have a good time. And I'm like, Nick. You know, all accomplishments, I look back over my career the last 20 years, and the last 5 years has just been out of control, going up. And you know, I try not to really look back, because when I look back, I kind of get an emotion. So I just always try to look forward and look at it as being work, you know, because as long as I feel like I don't have it, I always got something to work towards. That's the way I live. When you start to get comfortable in what you have, then your work ethic slags. So I've trained myself to say, and my husband say, is you ever going to get enough? It's not about getting enough. It's always about getting better with me. You know what I'm saying? So I don't have the time to baste in the stuff that I do. I don't have the time to brag about the stuff that I do. It's just work. It's a puzzle out there that I have, and we all have in our lives. It's up to you to place the correct pieces of that puzzle to put your life together. Some of us walk away from the puzzle. Some of us just throw all the pieces on the puzzle. And some of us take the time to put the pieces in the correct spot on the puzzle. And so that's what I look like every accomplishment I do. Oh, bam, that fit. Oh, bam, that fit. But with Trevor Noah, I held that piece out a little long and said, nigga, I got to put this piece down and I'm happy. And I put it down.
Just a how much time did you get to spend with him?
That was a 3-minute interview. I talked to him a lot, like, you know, off stage, and then he came back about 5, maybe 8 minutes to the dressing room. Very nice. Hmm. And it made me realize, you know, oh, you know, me staying true to who I really am and believing in myself, and this shit is starting to pay off. You know, my show is on BET Plus, where industry and people have a tendency of ignoring you. And I look at all the accomplishment of the show and how good the show is, that all of us, my punch up team, my writers, everybody, we work really hard to make sure we get recognized. And I mean, and I had to take a moment to say, first season and you already nominated for an Emmy. And it's not even about the Emmy to me. It's about getting the industry to say, hey, we might be on this little boat, but nigga, we here to compete. We're here. This show is just as good as the ones on ABC, CBS, NBC, and any other. Yeah, it does take time to watch it. But, you know, they felt like, because a lot of time they feel like, because you over here on this streaming platform and it's not talked about a lot, you know, they want to look the other way. So that's my whole Trevor Noah speech. It made me realize, the work is beginning to pay off.
And it seems like because you work hard, people trust you more and give you more opportunities.
You know,
they can rely on you.
I never do this. It's never about the money for me. It's about the art. Even with my comedy, I try, you know, like Jordan loved to see me ad-lib. And I will say this, I'm a beast when I ad-lib. But I also like structured comedy. Because sometimes, nobody wants to come to pay to see you, just hear you talk to a fucking audience. I'm a storyteller, so I think I should work on my craft to tell really good stories. I go in and out of my set, but ad-libbing is never going to be something that I'm totally going to always do.
You're too quick. Your brain works too quick.
Yeah, and it'll burn. I can actually burn myself.
Yeah. Well, what's
it like?
Go ahead, Dion.
Like when you were joning on that guy last night, like that was probably 10, 15 minutes. Just the crowd was loving it. But I could tell you were like, nigga, I don't want to be doing this. I want to be telling my jokes.
Yeah. And it takes you a minute to settle that audience back down, because you could have, I was saying some crazy shit. So I had to really settle the audience back down and make them, whew, now I'm going back to the structure shit, which it all worked. It just a lot of work on my behalf. As you know, my brain is going and I'm trying to remember the next piece that, you know, tweet, joke in, remember tags, but I'm out here tearing this nigga ass up who done took me all out the set. So a lot of time I come back and say, what was I saying before I had to kill this nigga here?
I've heard you say that. Why do you prefer, I mean, some people do a lot of crowd work. Why do you prefer the structured stuff? Is it because you've worked on it and it's a craft?
I prefer the structure stuff because I'm a storyteller. And I think my stories that I tell about my life or whatever is way more interesting. Hold on 1 second. Hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
Damn.
All right, let's take a quick break.
Yeah, let's take. I got to tell my husband that was a concrete guy. What was your question?
I guess, when did you become a storyteller? When did you realize you were a storyteller? And why do you prefer that over... because you're really, really, really funny off the cuff. We see it with Nikea.
Like I said earlier, I got so many stories to tell. And when you're telling stories, it's such a craft to telling stories. You want, you know, the biggest accomplishment I can ever get when people can visualize what I'm saying. And that shit takes work. Because you've seen people with a good premise, but don't know how to put that shit into a good story so people can visualize it. So you be saying this and they go over here, you got people confused. Comedy is like watching TV. If you're doing it the right way, that people can be so intrigued, they go into your world. They can see everything you're talking about. And I'd rather people remember me by that than me coming out the cuff, joining a nigga with a motherfucking dreads with the top of his hat missing with an ugly ass shirt. And he looked like he bite firecrackers for a living.
Did you like grow up around a bunch of people who told a bunch of stories and that's sort of where you learned it? Or did you like learn it over the last few years as you done comedy?
I grew up around people who told a bunch of lies, and you know, those are the best storytellers.
Full of shit people, right? Yeah, I was married once.
But I got a lot of it from studying Bill Cosby and Richard Pryor and Chris Rock and stuff like that in the beginning. Nobody taught me how to tell a story like Richard Pryor did. And Bill tells the best fucking stories. I know everybody, he got his faults and shit like that. But I went to go see Bill Cosby live one day, and I remember him telling a story about chicken and dressing. And it was so fucking good. When I left, I told Cortland, I was like, Bill Cosby charged all that goddamn money for 45 minutes. He was like, bitch, we've been here 2 hours. I said, we have?
Yeah, I saw him live too.
You know you did.
He was so good when I saw him live. And he was in his later years too. And they always say that, like, imitate the people that you want to be, and then eventually you find your own voice.
Yeah.
Right, well, we should probably start wrapping up since you're sleepy.
Oh, I just got to L.A. this morning, so we had a long night last night in Phoenix. We didn't leave out of there for 2 o'clock. We just running our fucking mouth, and then my flight was at 5 o'clock. Mm. So, you know, a bitch ain't ready to went to sleep. Shit. But, you know, that's the hustle of life. I'm not going to complain. It's life. It's work. You know, I do this because, for one, I love doing what I do. Two, I just love seeing. I'm a kid that grew up with no love. So to be able to see so many people that gives a fuck about Miss Pat, that means a lot to me. And when I write a joke, and when I go out and I perform an hour for so long, I work my ass off to get that next hour, not for me, but for the people, because I don't want the people to pay for me to be repeating the same old bullshit, because I care. I remember when I shot that Netflix special, and I was going on the road, and people was like, am I care? Oh, you can just tour with that. People do it. I said, no, I would not. I would not do this to these people. They can click on Netflix and see this shit any motherfucking time. What I would do is I would find something else. It just so happened, I remember my daddy dying, and that gave me all the material, the first 20 minutes of my set. Hmm. So that's what comedy is to me, because I love comedy, and I love the people who take out the time to see me.
Are you kind of excited that you're done shooting and you can get back on the road a little bit more?
Oh, my God, I'm so fucking happy to be back on the road.
Jordan is about to steal this new hour she's doing.
Why? For season 5?
We ain't gonna say what it's for. Yeah, he came to me the other day. He's like, I'm gonna need that new material you got. No, fuck you, I ain't motherfucker. I just wrote this shit. He's like, I've already mapped it out. It's gonna be here, it's gonna be here. I was like, oh my God, let me get the right. That's the crazy part about having a TV show and it being so real to who the star is that he can hear me, and then he'll write. He can write damn near a whole season. So he come to me the other day and he said, you know, that new material you got, I'm going to need it because it's the next season. What the fuck are you talking
about? Why don't you tell
about?
Him to listen to the podcast? I can't believe he's never listened to the podcast. You've got he can steal these stories. Tell him to leave your comedy act alone.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say, you're going to do something, nigga, because you're getting on my motherfucking nerve. I said, I can tour for a while if you leave me the fuck alone.
Episodes 5 through 99 of this show will do him fine. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I said, you can't have it. I said, so I'm fighting him for it now. That's why my ending changed for my special, because we ended up putting it in the show. Remember that, Dion?
Mm-hmm. By the way, the picture of you and Jordan is so cute. This picture, it looks like he's about to get that tank of gas.
You know, he just popped up. That's my partner in crime. I cannot lie. That is my fucking partner in crime. You know, I hope we one day work together again after the Miss Pat show. But, you know, it's nothing like being able to work with somebody and you end up adding that person to be a part of your family. And I really love this kid. I mean, we never hang up without saying I love him. You know, and that's what. I didn't have a family, but I do collect people. Like, I consider you guys my family. Sometimes I'll be like, I love you, Chris. I love you, Dion. That's what I do, because y'all are part of my family. You know, the family that I created for myself, not the motherfuckers I was born into. And, you know, there's not a day that goes by. I talk to Nick Jordan almost every fucking day. Just about like I used to talk. I talk to you guys at least a few times a week.
Yeah. I miss you. I'm glad that you're done with the TV show because I miss talking to you. I missed seeing you and spending time with you guys. And like I said, I can't wait to podcast with you guys. We'll definitely have to podcast when you come to Indy. And we should get Jordan back on the podcast too, because Jordan's a storyteller too. When he was on for the bonus episodes, he tells a great story, and he just has that brain that just naturally flows out of him.
Yeah, so it's you know, he's great. When he posts that picture, I was like, why don't he post this fucking picture of us? But he, you know, his mind is always running, and you know, we're good together. You know, I don't know how many more seasons we got on the Miss Pat show, but one thing I can say is you never can believe when a motherfucker, when somebody else is trying to shit something your dream down. Just believe that it's going to happen. Because we had so many no's. Oh, so many people thought it wasn't going to work. Dude, we just taped our third season. And we talk about other shit with it. So, you know, and I remember me and Jordan made this bet. We said, oh, we just want to get on TV. And we're going to do 5 seasons and we're going to quit. And I asked another day, I said, I think we done got ourselves into some bullshit. I think we done got caught up over here, Joy. This ain't what we said we were going to do.
Well, of all the people that you've had before him, I mean, to see the struggle of you trying to find somebody who understood you and wanted to do it the way you wanted it, and then you bumping heads with those people, and then you met Jordan, and it was just like an instant, oh, yeah.
You knew instantly. You knew from the beginning.
It was like, oh yeah, me and this kid can work together. And like, he really understood how to portray your story in a way that you might not know how to write it or present it for TV, but he was the visionary, but he was also able to understand you. Like, you guys clicked on a whole nother level, I was so happy that you found somebody who got it the way you got it. Like, he could see it the way you see it, and he understood it.
Jordan also has something to say, but he doesn't try to trump you and override you. It doesn't, like, he honors you and your vision, and you share kind of that same, like, spirit of Norman Lear and I Love Lucy and all. Like, I don't know, it's been great to watch, because he doesn't try to, he definitely wants to achieve something with the show, but he's not at the expense of you and your story.
Yeah, you know, and that's what I love about him. You know, he takes a part of my life, and it'll be the A or the B story, and he crafts it, you know, even with the pain in it, and he'd be like, this is what we're gonna do with it. And I'm like, I've got to the point, like, whatever you want to do, I don't give a fuck. Whatever you want to do, just get me the strip so I can learn the fucking lines, and I don't fuck Tammy. Tammy be like, bitch, you, it's Tuesday, you ain't learned any lines. I'm like, why are you off book? Why are you, Tammy with acting is like a Mexican, baby, she get it done. I be like, Tammy, it's Wednesday, why the fuck are you off book? We got 2 more practice days.
She's everywhere. I'm starting to see her everywhere.
Her new show is fucking hilarious. Oh my God. It's Caught in the Act on VH1 on Monday's night. Oh, if y'all haven't seen it, please go watch Tammy Roman's new show. Hilarious. I was just watching it on YouTube today. Man, nigga, I was in the airport screaming. I was like, this shit is fucking crazy.
I just saw a clip of her at a dinner table with 3 other women, and one of them wanted to fight, and then Tammy just started bust out laughing. I don't know what show it was. It was just a clip I saw on Twitter, but the way Tammy was laughing was like you had told a joke on set, the way she was laughing in this girl's face about wanting to fight her. And the girl goes, I don't know why she's laughing.
I mean, she is just so fucking, she's so good. She's so fucking good. Her new show had me, and I was, because as we were coming out, I was so busy trying to do this overall and doing all this other stuff. So my husband been recording it, but today I was able to catch it on YouTube, and I was like, oh my God, this fucking show is hilarious. It is hilarious. It shows her as such her, you know, her own element. That's her element, that type of shit. You know, and then she come back and she do the Miss Pat show, and she come back and then she play these other characters. I want to see Tammy play a low-down, dirty mama. That's what I want to see.
She's so good. Of all the cast members that you have, I feel like she fits the character better than everybody.
She just
really nails Denise's character.
And the like the
she
social.
She should have been nominated for it for best supporting actress in a TV show.
The social media clips. The social media for the Miss Pat show has been awesome. By the way, some really funny stuff. Really well done. Like all the promos for the Miss Pat show on August 11th, and they had one where they were asking how would Miss Pat react to X. And her answers were so fun. You'll have to go to Miss Pat's Instagram and find it. But she was like, just she shines in everything she does.
She does. She really do. She really fucking do. And I love working with everybody. I mean, it's nothing like being able to work with a cast of people, and you feel like it's no competition, and it's all out of love. And you know, if y'all don't do shit. You know, if or when we can come back for the fourth season, y'all gotta get to Atlanta to watch this shit tape live before it wraps its very last episode one day. I mean, it is the most fun you ever fucking have with Miss Sophia. Oh my God.
you opened the show, it's sounding like Miss Sophia. She's, dude, it is the best time. It is so fun. And like, the energy is great. It was such a great experience. And I think it's free, great. Right? Are the tickets free?
They're free.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth it if you can make it out there.
If you want to have a time of your life, come see the Miss Pat show. If or when we come back for a fourth season. It is so fucking fun. You feel like, I mean, it's a place to be on a whatever night we tape, because we take different nights. We take different fucking nights. But other than that, you know, life is good. You know, I'm here in L.A. for the premiere. And they're giving me a real fucking premiere. We got Associated Press coming out, Variety, Deadline. It's going to be kind of cool. You know, we working each and every day with this show to get more and more recognition over to the platform that we on. To say, hey, we here. We here to create good shit. And that's what we out here doing.
It's one of those things where, you know, when you got to Indy, you had a lot of negativity surrounding you as far as the comics and the scene. And for you to go from there to an Emmy-nominated TV show, like, I love that for you, how you never let the negative things that people say or do to you, like, block your shine. Like, I'm so jealous of your ability to do that, to not let things beat you down like that. Like, because, you know, I was there with you and defending you. And I was like, y'all crazy. Miss Pat is awesome. Y'all might not understand how she does things, but like, there's no like malice behind it. And coming from Morty's and how Eric treated you to now being premiering season two, having season three already wrapped, and you know, you got other projects that you're working on, you got your own Netflix special, you're on The Daily Show. It's just like, for me, seeing you rise above those hurdles in your life is just amazing. I'm like super proud of you for it.
And I don't know why no comic like me. Well, I do know why, because none of them was funny with Dion
today. They didn't know how to handle. She was the only black female comic in the scene. They did easily. Not know how to handle her.
And I'll be honest, like, you know, when I got started with this, a lot of those people were like, watch your back. And Miss Pat has never been anything but like great, like familial, like showing up, like screaming it. In the early on, I was like, why are you screaming at me? But she was treating me like a nephew. And it was, you know, and the like you I just feel so honored to be a part of the family and like and all that, and you'd never been anything but great. And like the first time you and I actually talked was I taped your acting coach and I met you at Bob and Tom and taped a scene, and you were so freaked out about your acting ability. And because you were like, this just isn't gonna happen. I'm never going anywhere. I'm like, you just were a little down on yourself that night. I'm like, you have a great story, tons of talent. And so, yeah, I mean, just to be able to watch you the last 3.5 years has been absolutely amazing. Almost 4 at this point. So,
and it is so much more stuff coming down the pipeline.
Because you've grown in your ability, like as you've gotten more in your own abilities, I think acting, and maybe you can say yes or no to this, nailing acting and feeling confident in acting has given you confidence in a bunch of other areas too.
Yes. You know, one of the things that I struggle with that I never talked about in the beginning was I struggled with the fear of being famous. I wanted the recognition, but I did not want to be famous. It's like an anxiety when you know you're about to get something, but you really don't want it. Have you guys ever been there before?
Yeah.
Or you know something is about to happen, but you wish you could stop it. And I tell you, and I don't tell many people this, I tell you when my book was up for the NAACP Image Award. So I'm online one day looking, and it says, to win the NAACP Image Award, you got to get people to vote for you. And at the time, my crack baby was over 10,000 people. I never posted it. And really? I remember going to that award, and I knew I wasn't going to win because I didn't tell anybody we could post it. I saw the people who I was up against. They was posting it. I didn't want the award. I was good with the nomination. And I remember sitting there with Quisha. She's like, why the fuck you didn't, why you didn't win? And I was like, I don't know. But I didn't tell anybody. So it was a fear there for me of having all eyes on me in situations. And I just wanted to do my comedy. I mean, I didn't expect to do all of this shit to happen. So I just told myself one day, I said, it's going to happen as long as you keep doing it. So you got to figure out how to break this fear. So I prayed about it. And then I told my husband. And he was like, you're not the only person that's been scared to be famous before. You're not the only person that's been scared to, you know, achieve big things in their life. A lot of people like to go up under the radar. And I'm one of them. And I just prayed about it. I had that talk with my husband, and I fought that wall down in my life that said it's okay if people notice me. Because, you know, I think when you've been through shit in your life and you start to get people noticing you, it's almost like going back to school. You don't want to be talked about. Yeah. I don't want to be talked about. So releasing big things allow people to give me their opinion. Like releasing that Netflix special would allow people to say I'm not funny. And when people are like, why are you not excited because you got a Netflix special? But in my head, that fucking demon that people beat me down with was saying they're going to talk about you. They're going to judge you. And that's the fear I had. Every time I do something big, I have to continue to get over that fear. And one of the things that was building that fear in me is reading people reviews. I had to learn not to read that bullshit.
All the Cuoco fans?
I had to learn not to read the bullshit because that shit was keeping me from becoming a person that I know I could become.
Okay, that makes sense because early on in this podcast, you'd call me and you'd be a little upset about like a podcast review and I'd be like, who gives a fuck? Like, who cares what that? Who cares what some basement dweller that makes memes of people thinks?
Well, it's like for me, I've worked my whole. I used to want people to like me. You know, I ain't always been. I've always had that outer exterior where I don't give a fuck, but that person deep down in me do give a fuck. Now the new me, I don't give a fuck what you write because I ain't gonna read it in the motherfucking way. Fuck your review. I'm at that point in my life now, but I wasn't 10 years ago or 5 years ago when this shit started to take off. I cared about what Average Joe wrote about me. Like, I just was on there looking at a review. Somebody was like, she's obese. I said, nigga, I got money. I should be obese. I'm eating good. And I almost wrote that.
You just coined the word obese about yourself. You shouldn't have done that. It's going to get worse.
Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? But stuff like that, you know, reviews anyway hurt people's feelings. But I just had to come to the things, you know, I had just to come to realize that I am a talented person. And these are the things that God is blessing me with. So why am I fighting him? And it wasn't easy. Well, we all got demons. We all got issues. I mean, I'm human. And that's why I like talking to the average person, because it let me know what I'm going through, or what I speak out of my mouth I'm going through. It's people out there going through it too. And we can all heal together.
Yeah. I remember probably 10, 12 years ago, you would call me every now and then. I don't think this is any good. I'm like, Pat, what the fuck are you talking about? Where is this coming from? It would just be, it sounded crazy to me that you didn't see yourself the way everybody else saw you. And, you know, I think most of that is childhood trauma. But
yeah,
from the point that you are now, I think you see at least a little bit of how much everybody like enjoys what you do at the level that you do it at. Like, you know, especially with the show, like, you know, when you broke the app, like that should have told you, like, no, people really do rock with you. I mean, you got of all the famous people that I can think of, you and Beyonce have like the craziest fucking fans. I can't think, like, you guys are one and two. Like, they will do whatever they, you know, whatever you say, hey, I need y'all to help me with this. They go hard for you. Like, that is, you know.
And I think that's kind of why those comedians didn't like you, is because a lot of those guys are fucking broke dick going nowhere. And some people just don't like people that are successful, or that they know can be successful, and they want to tear you down to keep you at their level. And like, If you try to push,
it was definitely some jealousy.
Yeah. I mean, even at that early embryonic stage, it was clear, holy shit, she's really good. And that people just don't like when you're good or competent or smart or better looking, or, you know, have a big penis.
My favorite, what would you know about that?
I've seen the sweatpants.
My favorite thing about first meeting you was just how funny you were the very first time I saw you. Like, I'll never forget the first time I saw you. You had on this brown, like, long sleeve zip up shirt with some blue jeans, and there's like 14 people at the open mic, and you just came in and you ripped that motherfucker. And I was like, who is this lady? She is so fucking funny. And I was like, every time I saw you after that, I was like, I hope I get to watch that again. Like, I just really enjoyed it. And as a comic, and Pat, you know this, there is competition. Like, you want to be able to compete with your quote unquote peers to do certain things. But like, for me, I've always watched you and just been like, man, I'm so glad I get to see this up close in person. Like, I've always been happy for you. I've always been proud for you to get all the things that you work so hard for. Cause I saw you get hated on, and like, it didn't stop you at all. Like, that to me is just like the best feeling.
I think the other piece of it too is, like, you saw her do stand up. I just saw her being nice. Like, she'd come into Bob and Tom and talk to me in the green room. Most comedians don't talk to the producers. You know, they'll say, hey man, what's up? Miss Pat, like, took an interest in every single person that worked there. How are you? What are you up to? And it stood out to, like, all of us against other comics, because she was just a nice person.
It's crazy because her first time didn't really, like, it was shaky in the beginning, and it wasn't until she started being herself that she, yep, you know, that they fell in love with her like everybody else does. It's like, you know, you were shy because, you know, Bob and Tom was a big deal, and, you know, you were nervous, and Eric had put all that shit in your head, and then it was just like, once you, like, broke down your own, it's like, I'm gonna just be me and let people love you for who you are. It's like, you blow up every single time when you're authentic to yourself and people get to see you.
Yeah, I mean, he was in my head when the first time I went to Bob and Tom, and I remember texting Dion saying, I was like, how am I doing? He was like, you're dying. Tell him you got shot. And I was like, tell him I got shot. And I just told him, and I became interested. And after that, I never stopped getting invited. So, you know, I'm just thankful. And I, you know,
they love you too. Every time I go in, Tom, Christy, Chick, they all ask about you. They're all super happy for your success. Like, you know, because they got to know you, you know, just the character.
Let's take a break. It's Mark Maron. Let's take a break. 1 second.
You just got canceled for Mark Maron. We'll be right back.
I'm sorry. That was Mark Maron. I just invited him to my premiere. He's coming.
Oh, fun.
Nice.
Yeah. Other than Bob and Tom, Mark Maron has more to do, you know, like when you went on Mark Maron, that's a lot, yeah. Really when Hollywood took notice, right?
When I went on Mark Maron, that is when Hollywood took notice.
It was John Rattler.
John Rattler heard me on Mark Maron. And when we was over in Canada, I bumped into Mark and I was like, hey, you know, all the people's here. And, you know, you one of the biggest reason why this show, you know, invite me on your podcast is what got Hollywood here. And, you know, I was like, can you get a chance? Can you come stop by the, you know, the panel? And I look up in the audience and there is fucking Mark Maron. And I was like, you got to come to the stage. This guy was listening to your podcast and brought me in to give me a TV show. And that was the first time Mark had ever heard that story.
Hmm. Wasn't there something to do with Queen Latifah or somebody attached to her heard that podcast too that aren't...
Well, we had was a new regency, quite a few people, and then they was trying to attach Queen Latifah in the very beginning, and it didn't work out. And so,
to what, you know, your show had, to play Miss Pat?
No. They tried to attach her as a producer, like Lee Daniel.
Gotcha.
And so, I mean, quite a few people, you know, a studio will go out and get somebody else so they can hire the right black writer or whatever. And Imagine went out and got Lee Daniels because they already had him, and said, "What do you think about her?" And Lee Daniels was like, "I'll do it."
Hmm.
So, you know, we all became family, imagining Lee Daniels. So that's how we ended up at Hulu and BET. But it all started with Mark Maron. Maron invited me to that garage, me telling that story. Mark Maron helped me get a book deal. And, you know, then came along with the big push after that was Joe Rogan. So I'm just thankful. I'm so thankful for, you know, the last few years of my life and, you know, just, you know, how I've grown as a comic, how I've grown as a producer, how I've grown as an actor, actress, because I'm a girl, so I'm an actress, right?
It's they, them, whatever.
It's 2022. Yeah, you can be whatever you want.
You can say whatever you want. You'll piss somebody off.
Your voice is an actor, so.
Yeah, your voice is an actor. Your vagina is an actress.
I was talking to somebody this morning. They said, I called a daughter, Janelle, on my show. She's Janelle, but her name is Brianna. And I'm talking to her about something yesterday morning. She was like, well, won't you clear your throat? Your voice is so raspy. No, she said, your voice is so raspy. Are you sick? Clear your throat. I said, Janelle, this is my fucking voice in the morning. She said, oh, I'm so sorry. I sound like the daddy in the relationship. I know, Janelle. But anyway, we're going to get the fuck out of here. I truly appreciate y'all. Please don't forget August 11th, which is this Thursday or
Thursday,
Friday?
This Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday. Don't please wear that fucking app out. I mean, even if you watch it, just let it run. Please.
And be tuned in on Wednesday when they drop the...
Yes. And I'm going to try to drop something in the Craig Baby group to let y'all know... exactly when what time is going to come on, because it's a surprise to everybody, but I'm telling y'all first because that's what I do. But please fuck that app up on Thursday. I mean, put it on your computer, put it on your TV, put it on your Apple Watch, put it on your iPhone. Let's rock the bell, y'all, because this second season, oh my God, it is so fucking funny.
Dude, the first episode is a trip.
And you might get to see it Wednesday if I can get the correct time out of the ass. Now, with that, that's the end of this podcast. And I appreciate y'all. Go to MissPatComedy.com. Austin, they still got tickets available. DC, I'm sold out. Thank you, Phoenix. And please pay attention because I just added Indiana September 24th with D.L. Hughley, Little Duval, and Ricky Smiley and myself at the Marat Theater. Go and get your fucking tickets so you can come last.
Thank y'all so much for tuning in to another episode of The Pat Down. Make sure you check out my website at MissPatComedy.com for all of my social media, my tour dates, my book. Make sure you spread the word about my podcast. Please rate and review. Please rate and review and share. Thank y'all so much, y'all. I've been Miss Pat.